It is my privilege, my joy, my pleasure, only by God's grace that I get to be here to speak to you, to teach to you, to bring his word. For those that don't know me, my name is Andy Cross. Serving different ministries here, I do different things, and they graciously asked me if I'd be willing to bring the word this morning, and so it's by God's grace that I get to do that. So, very blessed, very excited, and get to share about faith. So we're going to start off in Hebrews 11:30. If you want to turn to that, we're going to be in several other passages. Don't feel you need to get to all of them, to turn to all of them, but there'll be a few that we're going to be in. So Hebrews 11:30, and then after that, we're going to be in Joshua. So you could hold fingers in both of those, and we're going to bounce around a little bit, but that is that. So Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, that's what we're here about talking about, right? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. I'm going to pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. We thank you for every man that you brought through these doors. You know each of our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. Prepare our hearts to hear what you want us to hear, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that the words that I speak this morning have nothing to do with me. They're not my words, Lord, but they would be all from you, Father. Be in our midst and in our presence, I pray. Amen. Real quick, I'm going to set a timer here because for those that know me, I can talk. Those that don't know me, you'll find out that I don't mind talking. And so set a timer to make sure I don't go over. And we got other awesome speakers. And I want to thank Steve again for what he just got done sharing with us. So we have Jericho here. Jericho was the first city that was defeated by Joshua, by the Israelites, when they entered the promised land. It was a fortified city, it was stronger, it was greater, it was bigger. But God used supernatural powers to defeat this city, this enemy. So I look at the walls of Jericho kind of like our enemy. You know, Steve talked about the fiery darts. The walls of Jericho, for them, that was their enemy. God called them to defeat their enemy. But he didn't use what we would think just swords and spears, right? It was something greater. He used his power. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, which is our faith. So it's our faith that's going to overcome these battles, this doubt, this fear. I'll tell you right now that as I was preparing this study throughout the week, I had doubt. That was not from the Lord. That was from the enemy. That was the enemy attacking me and wanting to make me feel doubtful about what I was preparing, fearful about what I was going to do, and have doubt and of myself. But thankfully, it's not enough of myself that I can be here, that Steve can be here, anyone else. It is the Lord's grace that allows us to do this. So for the Israelites, Jericho was their enemy. They fought with faith. It wasn't their own ability. Just like us now in this world, we're going to fight our enemy. We can't do it with our muscles, with our strength. It has to be by faith. But how are we going to fight this battle? How are we going to fight this enemy with faith? And what really is the enemy? Well, I just mentioned one thing. It can be doubt. That's an enemy. Temptation. A difficult relationship. Persecution. Losing a loved one. You know, my family lost a dear loved one last year, my sister-in-law. Very young, with young kids. And it was something that rocked the family's faith to the core. And it was very difficult. But it was one of those things that tested our faith. And it's still to today, it's still testing some members of the family, some of their faith right now. Because it's a very difficult thing. And so stuff like that's going to enter our lives, but it's our faith in him, that's going to get us through all of these trials and through these fiery darts that Steve talked about. You know, I don't like to use a lot of quotes, but I found a quote here from Spurgeon, and I thought it sums up some of what we're going to talk about. So Spurgeon, speaking of the word, or of the world, and she, that is the world who he speaks of, she fetches up all false things, and she, that's the world, persecutes the man. If she can, she does it with the hand or by the tongue. She afflicts him wherever he is. She tries to ruin him in business. Or if he stands forth as the champion of the truth, which is the word, why then she laughs and mocks and scorns. She lets no stone be unturned whereby she may injure him. What is it then that the behavior of the Lord's warrior, that's us, when he sees the world take up arms against him, and when he sees all earth like an army coming to chase him and utterly destroy him, does he yield? Does he bend? Does he cringe? Oh no, like Luther, he writes, Sidu Nulli, on his banner, which means I yield to none. And he goes to war against the world, if the world goes to war against him. Well, gentlemen, boys, the world is against us as believers. We can look back through history, it's always been against us, and it's even against us more and more each day. You look at government policies that get created, and this isn't about a political thing here, and so we're not going to talk about that. But more and more policies get pushed that are against the believer. So how do we prepare our faith to stand against all these things that Spurgeon just talked about? The world's going to come after us physically. It's going to come after us. It's going to persecute us. How do we prepare for that? Well, we've got to look to the Word of God, right? The Word of God is going to stand the test of time. It's going to last an eternity. It will never change. It is the foundation. It is the pillar. And so when we look at Joshua, his faith was built before the walls were torn down, before they took Jericho. It was being built long ago. So if you guys want to turn to Joshua, I'm going to be pulling a few things out of there. God used Moses in Joshua's life to call him, to bring out this gifting that he had back in Numbers. The same can be done in our lives, right? There have been men in my life that have encouraged me. Some of them are in this room to today. So Joshua's faith was being built long ago. Joshua was one of the two spies that, prior to them entering the promised land, when they sent out the spies, him and Caleb went into the promised land. They said, hey, it's scary, it's this, it's that, but let's go in and let's conquer this promised land. Well, what happened? They got overruled by everyone else, and they said they were all fearful. They didn't want to do it. And so what happened? They had to wait 40 years. They left them in the desert. God said, hey, you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years until you get into the promised land. So Joshua's now waited 40 years to enter the promised land. But now the time's come. So before they defeat Jericho, they had to get into the promised land. The time has finally come for them to enter the promised land. I can imagine, for me, if I had waited that long, I would be discouraged. I'd be like, okay, God, is it really time? He's saying, yeah, we're going to do it now. I'd be like, I waited so long. Now it's going to happen. Now it's going to happen. Okay. But Joshua didn't have that doubt, right? He had the faith to keep on going. But what is this faith? You know, this whole conference is about faith. And Steve talked about our faith in Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Joshua hoped for the promised land. He hoped to defeat Jericho when he got in there. He had the faith to do just that. We can have faith in all sorts of things, all sorts of people, but the one true person that we can have faith in, that is in God. Because God's faithful to us. He will always remain faithful. He's going to guide us through battle. Just think, if we were in battle, we could have faith in our brother right next to us. He's trained with us. He's done this and he's done that. Which we want to trust him, right, to take care of us. But something may happen to him. We have to have faith in God. We want to trust our brothers to stand by us. But ultimately, we can't put our trust and our faith in someone. We want to put our faith in the one true God that will always be faithful to us. But Joshua had the faith in God. It was more than just the hope. He had faith in God to get him into the promised land. He trusted in God to do that. And it was a plan that God had for him. James writes, James 2 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So here James is talking about a living faith, a faith that's active, it's visible. It's not a dead faith. And I see Joshua as a man that did not have a dead faith. It was a living faith. It was alive. It was well. And I believe that all of these great men of faith in the Bible had this living faith. Were they perfect? No. Just like all of us. But then we see he says works. So what does that look like? Well, are we open to serving the Lord where he calls us? Being sensitive to him to where he's going to take us? And do we serve God at all? But even more, as us men, are we leading our homes under the grace of God and by faith, how God would want us to lead our homes? And then what's driving us? What's motivating us? Obviously, we don't have to have works to be saved. Steve touched on that. And Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So it is a gift. This gift is given to us. This salvation, this gift, this grace. And it's our faith and our trust in him. But by having that faith, it's going to produce something out of your life. So when I read this, I think of Joshua, the Israelites. They had this faith. They demonstrated it too. It wasn't just an invisible faith. They demonstrated it by entering the promised land, by defeating the walls of Jericho. And it was obedience. Because we saw 40 years ago, they didn't obey God. What happened? They had to wait. Now they are obeying God. So he's going to call us to stuff in life. We have to obey him to do it. Or we're going to be waiting. Someone else might end up doing it. So if the Israelites did not have that kind of faith, if they were trusting in themselves only, they probably wouldn't have entered the land how they did. And they probably wouldn't have defeated the walls of Jericho like they did. Joshua 1:9 says, this is God, because Joshua's getting, he's a little scared right now. And God says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I really enjoy the end of that it's the wherever you go type of thing. It's not just right here. It's not just on Sunday. It's here. It's at work. It's at the grocery store. It's at home. It's a wholehearted faith. It's not that Sunday faith. It is faith in God 24/7. Now, are we all perfect? No. So we all struggle. But then if you look back in verse 8, right before that, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." It's talking about the word. So God calls all of us to something. Pastors, teachers, plumbers, mechanics, students, if you're younger, he calls us all to do something. So regardless of what he's calling us to, he calls us all to have faith in what we're doing, that he's calling us to do it. But it's very easy to get that backwards. In verse 8 there, it talked about, at the end of it, I didn't read it, but it says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Some people can get this backwards and think that, well, hey, God's going to make me successful because of this. That's not what this is about. But then also someone might believe that God's calling him to do something, and they're going to try to create this success on their own and try to do your own preparations, not allowing God to prepare you. So maybe in a practical sense, are we deciding to skip church to do this or to do that because we're trying to get ahead in life when really we're not trusting in God and having the faith in him to guide us, provide for us, and do all these things? Are we skipping out on our devotions because of X or because of this? If he's going to call us to something, he wants us to have the faith in him to provide the means. It doesn't mean we don't act, but it means that we've got to trust in him. We see it later with Israelites in Joshua in chapter 7. They go up against Ai. They did it on their own. Well, we're not going to dig into that, but it didn't go very well for them. They got defeated. They didn't do what God said to do. They had their own plan. God's plan was for them to take the promised land. So he had the ultimate plan to take the promised land, to give it to them. But they decided to do something. Yeah, we're going to take it on our own. We're going to figure this out and do it on our own. They didn't have the faith in God to do it how he wanted. And I think of the walls of Jericho. If they wanted to do it how they wanted to do it, maybe, or how you and I would want to do it, we hear this plan from God to march around the city and do all this, we'd be like, that's kind of crazy. We're going to do it like this instead. Okay, well, that's not going to go so well. So I'm always asking myself questions, and you may ask them to yourselves as well, such as, how do I build my faith? How do I strengthen my faith? How am I prepared? How am I transforming? These are all questions we all are probably asking ourselves all the time. But what does faith look like? We could look at all the Old Testament scriptures and see men of amazing faith. I think of David and Goliath, this young boy in 1 Samuel 17, and he goes up against this giant, just like us going up against giants of this world that we can't defeat on our own. He's a shepherd boy, and he defeats this huge, massive figure that wouldn't happen without faith in Christ. 1 Samuel 17:45 in part says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of what? The name of the Lord of hosts. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand.'" So it had nothing to do with him. He was trusting in God completely. But how do we obtain that kind of faith? I would love to have that kind of faith, to hold fast to that faith so we're ready for what the enemy's going to throw at us, what he's going to do to us. Because it's a battle. It says right there in Scripture, we are warriors. We're facing an enemy. So Joshua was a man of faith. I recently read a part of a biography of Jackie Robinson. I'm going to read an excerpt from it because I thought it's somewhat relatable. So what I'm going to read is an excerpt from this. It's the interaction between Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey in 1945, their very first encounter. And Branch Rickey is the president of the Brooklyn Dodgers. They're in his office. They have never met until right this moment. And Branch says to him, "I'm looking for a ball player with the guts not to fight back," he tells Robinson. And then Branch continues and reads Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that ye resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him also to the other." Jackie Robinson knew the gospel. He knew what was required of him. And he responds to the president. He says, "I have two cheeks, Mr. Rickey. Is that what you're looking for?" So Robinson did not merely endure the face of constant death threats, opposing pitchers throwing at him, base runners spiking him. He thrived during it. His faith formed him an indomitable spirit. Robinson promised Rickey he would respond to his detractors by turning the other cheek, and he did, because Robinson believed that God was on his side. So Robinson was chosen by the president of the Dodgers, not for his skill alone. It was very specific. When Branch was sending out scouts secretly looking for a man, they were obviously needing someone of skill, but more importantly than the skill, but was his faith. They were seeking a Christian believer. And this is amazing. This is a professional baseball team. He was seeking a believer that he knew would be able to withstand all of this and not turn it in wrath. Both Robinson and Rickey were believers. And he was looking for someone that shared the same faith as him. So the president of the Dodgers at the time was also a believer in Christ. And he was looking for someone that shared his faith. knowing what he was going to endure. That's the kind of faith that God calls us to have right now, to endure. Yes, he was being persecuted for his color, but we're all being persecuted for our faith in Christ, no matter what we look like and no matter who we are. This is, to me, is the type of faith that we need to have in the midst of thick, intense battles. So what are we going to base our faith on? Well, I want to base it on the Word of God and on Christ. So in Joshua 3:6, you guys flip over a couple pages. He speaks to the priests and he says, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark and went before the people. So this Ark is leading the people across the Jordan. This is God leading the people. That's what it is. It's God leading their way into the promised land. Makes me think of our lives. Are we allowing God to lead us into whatever it is he's calling us to do? Are we recognizing God in our lives and where he's leading us? And then having the faith to move in that calling? Because remember, the enemy is the world. And we fight by faith, and that's how we're going to fight it. So they get to the city. They're encamped, they're this or that. God's going to give them instructions on what they're going to do. Joshua 6, verse 3. It says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Well, that's what happened. One of the amazing character traits of Joshua is his confidence in God and his plan. I would hear that and see that, and I'd have so much doubt, because I'd be like, wait, you want us to do what? This is crazy. So those who have ever been in the military or not, this seems crazy. You're taking a smaller army, and we're going to defeat this city by this? But God defies the laws, and he does it supernaturally. That's our lives. That's what's happening every day. He does supernatural things in our lives that we don't even see, but he protects us. He provides for us. He takes care of us. So how are we facing that enemy that Joshua faced with that type of faith? I can get discouraged sometimes, and I'm sure most of you get discouraged. Maybe you think, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that, whatever it is. So I know Steve talked briefly on Timothy. Timothy needed to be encouraged. He thought he was too young. He thought he was too this. And Paul encourages him. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore, this is Paul, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I love how Steve talked about that verse, because fear and doubt, that is not from the Lord. That is from the world. That's not from the Lord. He doesn't want us to be fearful, doesn't want us to have doubt. So this power that we have to have the faith is from God and God alone. In 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul continues. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So we have the Word of God, but we have the Holy Spirit. It's indwelled in us. It gives us that power to have the faith, to stay strong. Paul writes in another letter to Rome. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, that's what you guys are doing right now. You're hearing the Word of God. You're hearing what he has to say. But are we doing that daily? Are we doing it and allowing it to wash over us? As we read the Word, as we memorize Scripture, and allow God to speak to us. He speaks to us through His Word. Is He audibly speaking to us? Not everyone, no, but He's going to speak to us through His Word, through the passages that He brings to us. Our faith is strengthened. It's built up. Our faith is in Jesus. And the John 1:14 says, He is the living Word of God. So our faith is in Christ. And He's always faithful. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, He's the author and finisher of our faith. So we have this faith. It is strengthened by being in the Word. Well, Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And how do things finish? Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I think that's so awesome. It's like God didn't just say, hey, do this, and they didn't see a result. Boom, they did it, and that's what happened. You know, and speaking of faith, a month ago when Pastor Damien here was in Acts 27, he said something that just kind of resonated with me. And he said how there will be times in life when we experience something that rocks our faith to the core. It's gonna be difficult. And at those times, sometimes it's not always our faith that gets us through. But it's God's faithfulness to us that gets us through these times. So He's always faithful. The fact that we have faith in a God who's always faithful, never leaves us, never forsakes us, is pretty amazing. So we have time in the Word that's going to prepare us. That's going to strengthen our faith. It's being in the Word. That strengthens us. That prepares us. It makes me think of like an Army Ranger, a Navy SEAL, or some special forces, if you're ever in the military. They train, and they train, and they train. It takes the discipline for them to train and be able to defeat their enemy, to go on the missions that they do. It doesn't happen overnight. How can they expect to go into battle without training? And how can we expect to go into battle against the world without training, which is being in God's Word and being in commune with the Lord and without the proper equipment? We could go into Ephesians 6 like Steve talked about. We got to have the equipment. We got to have what God describes. I think of those that are in law enforcement or those that are in the military. They get this training. They get this initial training. They go to an academy. And they get trained and they get taught and do all this stuff, and then they go and get deployed and they're doing their job. Is that the only training they ever get? It's continuous. It has to be continuous because you're being refreshed on stuff. You're being tested on things. You're keeping up on it. You're staying fresh on it. It's just like a professional athlete. They could be the best, the most elite athlete. If they stop their training and take time off, they're not at the same peak that they used to be. For those of you who have ever done running, I used to run a lot. And it used to be, I was just talking to someone this morning about it. It used to be where I could just go on a short 5 or 8 mile run, and it was nothing. But I haven't ran in a couple years. I've stopped running due to some other things going on. And now, to go on just a 1 or 2 mile run is work, because I don't train anymore for it. Just like being in the Word and having our faith strengthened, if we don't continuously do it, our faith's not going to be built up. So it's an ongoing thing in our lives. So we're in the Word daily. We're being strengthened. But what about if we neglect to fellowship with other men? Just like that Navy SEAL. Maybe he trains on his own all the time. His team's off doing this over here. He's going to do his own thing over here. Yeah, he's strong, he's fit, he knows stuff. But then when they're getting ready to go on a mission, they don't have this connection for his brothers to hold him up, to keep him sustained in this battle. The team's there to keep him safe and to protect him, just like we are. Our brothers in Christ are here to keep us safe, keep us accountable, build us up when we're weak. Hebrews 10:25 in part says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. God did not design us to go into battle alone, just like he doesn't design that Army Ranger, that Navy SEAL to go into battle alone. God did not design us to battle this world in the spiritual realm alone. Solomon writes in Proverbs, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Makes me think of the blacksmith. He uses that hardened iron, sharpens another piece. It's that back and forth, the abrasion, the two going back. But in the end, these two become more useful. Just like us and our brothers here in Christ, we can be abrasive sometimes with one another and test each other and keep each other accountable, but it's going to make us both stronger, both better. Now, I get the joy of going to Bible study with some men on Friday mornings, and it keeps me accountable. It makes me stay in the Word because I know I'm going to be meeting with them. We're going to be discussing whatever it is we're doing on a Friday, and so it's huge for me. It just keeps me strengthened. So God wants us to be like-minded, to be accountable to one another. That's how we're going to strengthen our faith. So at the end of Joshua's life, chapter 24, he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So his faith is continuous. All the way at the end of his life, he says, we're going to serve the Lord. How are we serving the Lord in our homes? How we interact with our spouses, our children, for children, how do we interact with our parents? Now, I had an interesting interaction this week. I was sharing it with the guys this morning as we're praying. I had an interaction with a gentleman that he said something, and this was at work, and what type of work I do, I can't just start sharing the Word and doing this and that. But he said something, and I'm like, this guy's a believer. And so I responded to him in a certain way, and he came at me and said, "Are you a believer?" I'm like, "Yeah." He asked me, I'm like, "Yeah, I am." We start talking, it turned into about a 30-minute conversation, and he was talking about how his faith needed to be strengthened. And he, out of the blue, starts talking about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And this was 3 days ago. So I laid out, I'm like, this is amazing. I'm teaching a lesson on this on Saturday. And so I just went into my story and how I became saved and all this. And it was that building up, it built up my faith. It was this interaction with another believer that just, it lifted me up. He strengthened me. It's like, man, there's another man right here that I just came across that I didn't know from Adam an hour prior. And it built up my faith and it just strengthened me in an amazing way. And he, when we're done with our interaction, he's like, "Hey, can I pray for you right now for your safety and for this and for Saturday?" It's just like, man, God, if I wouldn't have said what I said and responded to him, that whole interaction would never have happened. But it built up my faith. I say that because it's how we interact with other men. It's going to build our faith. It's going to strengthen us. So what does this look like in our lives to be prepared for battle? Well, we've got to be in the Word. Easier said than done. Start small. Grab a daily bread. Get the app. You know, I used to commute to the Bay Area, so I would use that time to just listen to stuff. Listen to podcasts or whatever it was, a sermon, Bible on tape, something. You've got to start small. For kids, you know, start small. Don't try to, Pastor Mark here has told me before, you can't eat an elephant all at once. You know, it's one bite at a time. When you're tackling something, it's small. Start small with being in the Word. You know, say, "Hey, I'm going to read the Proverbs. I'm going to do this and read one a day," or whatever it is. But whatever it is, it's going to keep you in continuous connection with the Lord. And we've got to be in prayer, and we've got to be in fellowship and communion with our brothers. For the younger ones here, and it's that youth group. I remember for me, in the youth group in this church, almost 30 years ago, in the high school group here, that was huge and instrumental in building my faith in the fellowship that I had and the bonds that I created with other boys in high school and with the youth pastor, alongside with Pastor Mark here, when we were young. Just, it built our faith. It's that fellowship, that communion with other kids. It's huge. So in closing, I want us to ask ourselves some questions. I know I've asked a lot of questions, but are we willing to live this wholehearted faith like Joshua did here? Because there's this half-hearted faith that we can have in life, and I've been there. It's way, way more difficult. It's like just enough religion to make you miserable, really, because you're trying to do something, but you're not doing it completely. It's just like you're on that fence, and you're like, oh, I got this, or I got this. You can't really commit to anything. So I want to encourage us to, and include myself here, we got to fight this fight of faith, because this battle is won by faith, and it's faith in Christ. And to build that faith, to build that strength, it's being in the Word and being in prayer, being with other men. It's going to produce this living faith that James spoke of, and the type of faith that Joshua had to enter the promised land, defeat the city of Jericho, which is the world. That's what we're fighting against. And I thought, who know better to quote, I got a quote here for you guys, than General Dwight D. Eisenhower. We're talking about military. We're talking about battle. He said, there are no victories at bargain prices. You can't go into battle and get it without preparing. We can't go into this world and battle the spiritual realm against these fiery darts, against this crazy world that's going to attack us without being in prayer, without being in preparation, and without being in fellowship with one another. Let me pray real quick, and we're going to have another break, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for building up our faith. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to be in our midst and bless this time, Lord. Amen.